नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनि नामिनि नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशकारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। सो वी स्टार्टेड डिस्कसिंग Padeshamrit with commentaries from various acharyas. Srila Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur wrote two commentaries, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktirakshak Sridhar Goswami Maharaj, and the original commentator Sri Radharamandas Goswami. So I'll be referring, as last time we started with the first verse, Vacho Vegam Manasat Krodha Vegam जिह्वा वेगम उदरोपस्थ वेगम एतान वेगान्यो विषहेत धीरा सर्वान अपि मां प्रतिविंश शिष्यः। सो वन हु इज एबल टू कंट्रोल दिस सिक्स अर्जस कैन मेक डिसिपल्स ऑल ओवर द वर्ल्ड। सो इन दिस वी डिस्कस द फर्स्ट ओरिजिनल कमेंट्री उपदेश प्रकाशिका बाय राधारमण गोस्वामी। फर्स्ट वर्स देखा ओनली इनका कमेंट्री देखा। सो ही मेंशन्स दैट शोकामर्षादिभिर् भावैर् आक्रांतं यस्य मानसं कथं तत्र मुकुन्दस्य स्फूर्ति संभावना भवेत्। ही कोट्स दिस वर्स फ्रॉम द पद्मपुराण विच इज कोटेड बाय रूप गोस्वामी भक्तिरसामृत सिंधु। Basically, when our mind is consumed by extreme emotions which are born out of Rajogun and Tamogun, then it is very difficult to remember Krishna. So therefore, one has to consciously, and the influence of Rajogun and Tamogun manifests in the form of Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jihva Vegam, Udaropastha Vegam. So the influence of the modes comes out in the form of these impulses. So when we are troubled by these impulses, it is very difficult to think of Krishna. So therefore, one should consciously try not to allow the influence of these modes to escalate to an extreme proportion. So before it escalates to an extreme proportion, we have to do something to de-escalate it. Either run away from that place which is instigating that impulse, or do something, run into the association of devotees, or start doing something, some Krishna conscious activity which you like, which can take your absorption away from such thoughts. But basically, we should do anything that is within our capacity before it escalates into a strong urge which we cannot handle, which is not within our capacity to handle. So therefore, one should endeavor in that direction. So the cultivation of unalloyed bhakti is never possible in such a contaminated heart. Therefore, the sadhaka who can tolerate these passions can instruct the entire world. Like that. So this is where we ended, and then we started Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary, who follows closely the commentary of Radharaman Goswami. This Piyusha Varshini by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We just saw the Mangalacharan by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So we will start his commentary now. So where are others? They forgot the change of time. I texted them. Maybe yaad nahi hai kya? Abhimanyu will come. He knows, he remembers. What about others? Let me give. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur starts the discussion which by quoting this verse, Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadhyanavritam anakulyena krishnano shilanam bhakti ruttama. So this is how Radharaman Goswami also started his commentary by quoting, how is it possible for someone to practice uttama bhakti while the heart is troubled by these impulses? The highest bhakti is defined as continuous service or emotions directed towards Krishna, his expansion, forms or others related to him, with a pleasing attitude, anukulyenam. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. These are the primary characteristics of bhakti. And the secondary characteristics are Anyabhilashita Shunyam. One should have no other desire other than the desire to please Krishna. And Jnana Karma Dhyanavritam. And that practice must not be obstructed by Jnana Karma Yoga etc. So Anyabhilashita Shunyam indicates purity of Prayojan. And Jnana Karma Dhyanavartam indicates purity of Abhideya. Adopting all those things mentioned in the above verse as favorable and renouncing all that is unfavorable, one adopts the cultivation of activities meant exclusively for the pleasure of Sri Krishna. So it is this cultivation or Bhagavat Anushilanam which is the primary objective of person's intent on bhajan. Anukulyasya sankalpo pratikulyasya varjanam. So basically, anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. So in order to do this, he says that one should know what is favorable and one should know what is unfavorable. And extreme emotions are very much unfavorable for practice of bhakti, because one cannot favorably think of Krishna. The acceptance of that which is favorable and the rejection of that which is unfavorable are not direct limbs of Shuddha Bhakti. Rather, they are aspects of that faith which is characterized by surrender, which in turn bestows qualification for bhakti. See, anukulyasya sankalpo is a principle and the various anukul things are limbs. So he is talking about the principle, the conviction that I have to accept everything that is favorable for bhakti is not a limb of bhakti, but it is a part of the faith value system. When we say anukulyasya sankalpo, we are talking about bhakti anukulyasya sankalpo, bhakti pratikulyasya varjanam. So, here he says that this is not a limb of devotional service, but this is... Niche dekhke a jao yaar. Wait for a few seconds and then. So he says that the conviction that I have to accept something favorable and reject something unfavorable for bhakti is a part of the faith. Once one is convinced of that, then one will try to know what is favorable, what is unfavorable, and try to avoid that. Then it becomes a limb. But the conviction itself is a part of faith and not a limb of bhakti. Rather, they are aspects of faith which is characterized by surrender, which in turn bestows qualification of bhakti. That is why in Manasiksha commentary also, in the commentary to the first verse of Manasiksha, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that the first symptom of faith is surrender. The six symptoms of surrender. Anukulyasya sankalpo pratikulyasya varjanam. Conviction. So one may not, the more one progresses, that those elements of surrender become stronger and stronger. But least the theoretical acceptance of these things comes, it's a symptom of faith. That I need to accept everything that is favorable for bhakti. I need to reject which is unfavorable for bhakti. He may not be able to immediately reject, but at least he will get the conviction that at least future mein kabhi to isko chhodna padega mujhe. Utna to conviction a jayega usko. That is a symptom of faith. Or even in some cases he may not know what is favorable, what is unfavorable. You start. He may not know what is favorable, what is unfavorable, but in principle he may have the understanding that anything that is unfavorable for my practice of bhakti, I should give up. He may not know, too much attachment to astrology. Is it meant to such a bhakti? Is it unfavorable for bhakti? So he may not necessarily know what is unfavorable for bhakti. So this is an aspect of tattva vibrama. Svatattva vibrama, paratattva vibrama, bhakti tattva vibrama and bhakti pratikula vastu tattva vibrama. What is pratikul for bhakti, what is anukul for bhakti? So he may have a tattva vibrama, he may not have a proper understanding of it. But in principle, the person may be convinced that anything that is pratikul for bhakti, I should give it up. Anything that is anukul for bhakti, I should accept. He may not know the details, he may not be aware of the details. Okay. So therefore the element of surrender is a sign of faith. Anukulyasya sankalpo pratikulyasya varjanam rakshati iti vishwaso. Rakshishyati iti vishwaso. Having faith that Krishna is protecting me. Goktrupve varnam tata. Krishna is maintaining me. Atmani vedanam. I have to surrender everything. And the fact that everything is controlled by Krishna brings in a kind of humility. So these six are the symptoms of faith. Limbs means you have to practice. Sharanagati is a conviction. It is a part of faith. It is not an act. There may be actions which indicate one's surrendered nature, but the surrender itself is not a limb. It is actually faith, a part of faith. This is expressed as follows in the Vaishnava Tantra, quoted in Bhakti Sandarbha. Anukulyasya sankalpo pratikulyasya varjanam rakshishyati iti vishvaso goktrupve varanam tata atmanikshepa karpanye shadvida sharanagati. There are six symptoms of self-surrender. Anukulyasya sankalpo. Fully surrendered sadhakas should accept only those things that are favorable for prema bhakti. Pratikulyasya varjanam, vivarjanam. They should completely reject those things that are unfavorable for prema bhakti. Rakshishyati iti vishwasa. They have firm faith that Shri Krishna is their only protector, that there is no protector other than Krishna, and that one cannot obtain protection by any other activity.
I am discussing the importance regarding this concept of surrender. Telling that surrender is a prayojan. So the problem is immaturely when teachers say surrender. Then that creates a lot of, that has created chaos in the society.
Agreed.
Think of principle be there.
See, surrender is a byproduct of faith. Surrender is a symptom of faith. See, I know where this argument is coming from. In principle, people may be convinced. But when you are pushing them, when they are struggling to give it up, you are not giving them the time and space to give up, then they get suffocated. In principle, they are convinced. So, rather than creating an environment that is conducive for them to, apply that principle, it is not a problem with conviction of the principle. It is a problem of their current ability to actually execute it because of their conditioning. So, when that kind of a leeway is not given, they feel suffocated. This is one aspect of it. Second aspect is, they might be convinced that I have to surrender to a spiritual authority, but they may not be inspired to surrender to this particular spiritual authority. And then surrender is enforced by that very authority. It leads to repulsion. It is not that they are not convinced in principle about surrender to spiritual authority. You remove yourself from that position and put Radhana Swami Maharaj there and ask them, are you willing to surrender? They will say yes. Or you put Prabhupada there, ask them. So it is not a problem with the principle of surrender, but when people don't command, but when they demand surrender for oneself, and if they don't see that person as a transparent biomedia of the parampara, then it becomes a problem. So, therefore, lack of surrender is a symptom of weak faith. So, you can't treat the symptom, you have to treat the cause, disease. The disease is weak faith. So, which means, if we act in such a way that the person's faith will be enhanced, then automatically surrender will be seen. Because surrender is a symptom. So therefore, I mean, this is a common thing. So we cannot emphasize surrender. Surrender is a symptom of faith. It's a symptom of love. So lack of surrender is a symptom of lack of love. And when the person is further telling surrender, surrender, it will weaken that love, then weaken that surrender. Quite possible. Yeah. So, therefore, the solution should be how you can enhance that person's faith. And people don't want to let go. If ultimately the goal is the Krishna consciousness of that person, whether he gets Krishna conscious inspiration through you or through someone else, that should be immaterial. Every person has a particular need. Like I was talking with Chaitanya Charan Prabhu a few days back, and he was sharing that there are some people who in the initial days he was sharing Ramabhadra Priya Prabhu is a very good friend of Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. So they have very good relationship. So he was sharing with him that in the initial days, Ramabhadra Priya Prabhu got lot of inspiration from Chaitanya Charan Prabhu's lectures. But over a period of time, he realized the need to go more deep into the Shastras left behind by our Acharyas. So, he was sharing that how his stay in GV had really helped in that direction. Ramabhadra Priya Prabhu was sharing it with Chaitanya Charan Prabhu only. And Chaitanya Charan Prabhu was sharing it with me. See, this is actually, you are not attached to control, you know. He should be getting my inspiration from me. That need is not there.
That's
Avagam Brahma Junior. Or he was telling that, you know, it has been a long time since I spent time with our Shastras in a very dedicated way. So can we sit on a regular basis and discuss? Help me. This is Chaitanya Charitamrita speaking. Now this is actually, rather than telling, you know, rather than feeling everyone should get inspiration from me only. Chaitanya Charitamrita is telling. This atmosphere, you know, I think this is a good time. I have been thinking for a long time. Let's sit and discuss. Like that. Scriptures. It has been a long time because I meet with, yeah, because of the, I preach to secular world, I constantly stay in touch with that kind of scriptures only, like that. Yeah, not even that, even more secular. Yeah. So, so therefore, when we have to identify that different people may get inspiration from different sources, if you are willing to let go, actually you will see, that is why you see here Rambhadra Priya Prabhu is feeling comfortable to share this with Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. Because he has that kind of a mood, you can maintain the personal relationship, even though for Shastric inspiration he may seek elsewhere, but personal inspiration he will seek from you. But if we want, no, that person has to seek Shastric inspiration, personal inspiration, career inspiration, spiritual inspiration, emotional inspiration, everything I should only give. If that kind of an expectation is there, then it becomes very difficult. So, anukulya sa sankalpa, fully surrendered sadhakas should accept only those things that are favorable for prema bhakti. Pratikulya sa varjanam, they should completely reject those things which are unfavorable to prema bhakti. Rakshishyati iti vishwasa, they have firm faith that Shri Krishna is the only protector, that there is no protector other than Krishna, and that one can obtain protection, one cannot obtain protection by any other activity. So these are not hard and fast. See, faith we say is komala, madhyama and uttama. So in this way, the symptoms of surrender will also manifest to the extent of the strength of the faith. If faith is weak, the symptoms of the surrender will also be weak. But when the symptoms are weak, we should not push that person in a direction where that weak faith will change into mixed faith. That is the responsibility of the preacher. ठीक है, तो आप थोड़ा astrologer ke paas jao. The faith is that the person should act in such a way that his trust in Krishna should get enhanced. So when you push him in that direction, and if the astrological thing works, he ends up worshipping a demigod or whatever, and the astrological thing works, then his faith in Krishna will be compromised. He will not think that Krishna is protecting. We are pushing him in a direction where he will not be able to see Krishna's protection. And this is not recommended in Bhagavad Gita also. So, the role of a preacher is to help that person slowly identify that how Krishna is protecting. You know, help him see that yes, Krishna's protection is coming. Krishna is protecting, don't worry. That is the role. Goktrutve varanam. Surrendered devotees have absolutely no doubt that Krishna is their only guardian and maintainer. They have no doubt, but the strength of that faith may be weak also. Who is protecting? Krishna is protecting. Are you sure? Oh, yeah, yes. But when pushed in a practical situation, they say a beginner छह फुट का पानी में तैर लेता है, he will swim. You push him into a 20 feet deep water, he will not have confidence. In 6 foot water, 20 feet he may, or 30 feet, 50 feet he may swim without any. But in a 20 feet deep water, he has to cross only 10 feet, 15 feet. He may not have faith. So therefore, but in principle he knows swimming. It's just a question of slowly acting in such a way that that person's faith can get enhanced. When that faith gets enhanced, then it is possible for him to come to that situation. Atmanikshepa, offering the self to the Lord, is expressed in this attitude. What is that attitude? I am incapable of doing anything independently. Unless Krishna desires, no one can do anything. Devotees who have no resort have this kind of faith. So, what is that verse that we discussed yesterday, Bhajan? Harinama Sankirtane. What is it? Okay. Ekaki Amar Nahi Paya Bala Harinama Sankirtane. Tumi Kripakori Shraddha Bindu Diya Deho Krishna Namatane. Karpanya. Humility is expressed as follows. I am very fallen and insignificant. Unalloyed devotees are possessed of this very firm and simple faith. To possess all these attitudes is called Sharanagati. See, firm faith, when it talks about a sadhaka, firm faith means unalloyed faith. Jnana Karmadi Anavrita Shraddha. A faith that is not like sort of shared between bhakti, jnana, karma, yoga, etc. It is unshared. Unshared faith is firm faith. That is how Chaitanya Charitamrita defines. Shraddha shabde vishwasa kohe sudrida nishchaye Krishna bhakti kaile sarva karma krita hai. Yes, Shabda means firm faith that only by practicing bhakti I can achieve all my desires. And 2 verses later, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, there are 3 kinds of people who possess this faith. And he says, Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, Uttam Adhikari. So Kanishta Adhikari also possesses this faith.
Yes,
huh? Which faith? Sudrida nischaya Krishna bhakti kaile sarva karma krita hai, which means it is not talking about purity of faith. It is talking about purity of faith. It is not talking about strength of faith, because formala shraddha means weak faith, madhyama shraddha means medium faith, uttama shraddha means firm faith. But still he says the one who possesses formala shraddha also, Shraddha Shabde Vishwasakohe Sudhrida Nischai, he says. So Sudhrida Nischai, word is not talking about strength of faith, it is talking about purity of faith. Even a Kanishta Adhikari may have weak faith, but that weak faith is pure.
What is the difference?
Third is protection, fourth is maintenance. When I am in trouble, Krishna is protecting me. For my day-to-day maintenance, Krishna is maintaining.
Yeah,
रक्षा माम पाही माम, पाही इज प्रोटेक्शन, रक्षा बोथ मीन द सेम, रक्षा पाही, पाही इज प्रोटेक्शन मेंटेनेंस. अच्छा, इन दिस वर्स द इंस्ट्रक्शन इज गिवन टू अबैंडन दैट विच इज अनफेवरेबल. वॉट इज अनफेवरेबल? वाचो वेगम, मनसा क्रोध वेगम, जिह्वा वेगम, उदरोपस्थ वेगम. One who is able to tolerate the overwhelming passions of speech, mind, anger, tongue, belly and genitals can instruct the entire world. In the Padma Purana it is said, same verse he quotes, Shokamarshadibir bhavair akrantam yasya manasam katam tatram kundasya spurti sambhavana bhavet. How can Sri Mukunda ever be manifest to a person whose heart is invaded by lamentation, anger and other agitations? The purport of this verse is that lust, anger, greed, illusion, intoxication, envy and other irritations always arise within the mind and thus attract the mind towards material sense objects. This is natural. Lust, anger, envy, greed, illusion and pride appear within the mind and pull the mind towards material sense objects. This is affected through six agencies. How do this lust, anger, envy, greed, illusion and pride manifest? By the urge to speak or the use of words that create distress for others. Vacho vegam. Desire can manifest through words. Anger can manifest through words. Right? Greed can manifest through words. Illusion can manifest through words. Intoxication can manifest through words and envy can manifest through words. So lust, anger, envy, greed, illusion and pride can manifest through these six agencies. Speech, anger, mind, tongue, belly and genitals. By the urge to speak or the use of words that create distress for others. By the agitation of the mind or the innumerable desires and plans fabricated within the mind. By anger or the use of harsh words. By the vehemence of the tongue or the greed to relish six kinds of tastes, namely sweet, sour, bitter, pungent, salty and astringent. Bitter. बिटर, हाँ काफी लोगों को बिटर चीज अच्छा लगता है. आज सुबह था ना करेला, हाँ पंजन चीज बहुत लोगों को अच्छा लगता है ना. एस्ट्रिंजेंट इज आई थिंक मिक्सचर ऑफ टेस्ट, मिक्सचर ऑफ फ्लेवर्स, राइट. एस्ट्रिंजेंट क्या है? हींग है क्या? पंजेंट में भी स्ट्रॉन्ग नहीं, चेक करो ना, चेक करो अभी हाथ में आपके पास अस्त्र है सबके हाथ में. एस्ट्रिंजेंट, पंजेंट इज वेरी स्ट्रॉन्ग स्मेल, लाइक गार्लिक और ऑनियन गार्लिक. पंजेंट कौन सा? पंजेंट इज वेरी स्पाइसी लिखा है. कुछ एग्जाम्पल्स लिखा है क्या?
स्पाइसी इंग्रेडिएंट.
आपने देखा ही नहीं, बिना बिना देख के बोल रहे हैं क्या?
स्पाइसी इंग्रेडिएंट, स्ट्रॉन्ग एंड सॉर, रेडिश, बूली, बूली,
मूली, मूली, ऑनियन, गार्लिक, वो सब पंजेंट में आता है. एस्प्रिंजेंट क्या है? मिक्स्ड टेस्ट,
खट्टा मीठा,
ऐसा मिक्स्ड टेस्ट जो भी है. बाय द अर्ज ऑफ द बेली और द ड्राइव टू ईट मोर देन नेसेसरी, बाय द एजिटेशन ऑफ द जेनिटल्स और द डिजायर फॉर कोहैबिटेशन बिटवीन मेन एंड वुमन, दस एजिटेटेड द कल्टिवेशन ऑफ शुद्ध भक्ति इज नॉट पॉसिबल. The urge to speak or the use of words that create distress for others. By the agitation of mind are innumerable desires and plans fabricated within the mind. By anger are the use of harsh words. By the vehemence of the tongue are the greed to relish six kinds of taste, namely sweet, sour, bitter, pungent, salty and astringent. The urge of the belly are the drive to eat more than necessary. By the agitation of the genitals are the desire for cohabitation between men and women. This is six. Thus agitated, the cultivation of Shuddha Bhakti is not possible. In order to, which means, one can, the faith in pure devotional service can manifest because there is no material disqualification for starting bhakti, but to cultivate it, it is not a very fertile soil for cultivating the seed of devotion. So, if you see, like we have predominantly black soil here. So, black soil is very, it's not very, what do you call? It's very tight. It's not very porous. It's not very loamy, both think. What do they say? Anyway, it's not very loose. So, tubers which need little loose soil to actually, so certain kind of tubers don't grow that well. So we have put now gulchadi, tuberose, but it's not the best soil for tuberose to grow. It has tuber bulbs. So bulbs need a little easy soil, not very hard packed soil. Is not very conducive for. So, but it can grow, but it is not a very conducive environment for growth. It's not the best type of soil to grow. So, one whose heart, one who is having severe trouble in Vacha Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jihva Vegam, Udaropastha Vegam, then the seed can be planted in that heart. But for the seed to grow very luxuriantly into a creeper, it's very difficult. In order to make the hearts of those who are pursuing the path of bhajan intent on bhakti, Sri Rupa Goswami has composed this verse first. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, in order to make the hearts of those who are pursuing the path of bhajan intent on bhakti, Sri Rupa Goswami has composed this very first verse, which means identify the enemies and the obstruction to this in this journey can come in the form of these six urges. The attempt to restrain the six urges does not constitute bhakti sadhana. So, when we restrain the six urges, it is not a part of bhakti sadhana. 64 limbs may nahi aaye. Rather, it is a staircase to ascend to the platform of eligibility through which one may enter into the temple of bhakti. Which verse? Eleventh canto verse. Correct. So one cannot reach the higher stages of bhakti if we don't take care of these six urges. Like that. Which means the progress becomes slow and stagnant. On the paths of fruitive activity, karma, and the cultivation of knowledge, jnana, one is instructed to curb these six urges. Karma and jnaname, one is instruction, it is an instruction to curb these six urges. These instructions, however, are not applicable for pure devotees. In the scriptures, hearing, chanting and remembrance of the names, forms, qualities and pastimes of Sri Krishna are described as actual bhakti. ఇట్ ఇస్ నాట్ లైక్ శ్రవణం కీర్తనం విష్ణు స్మరణం పాద సేవనం అర్చనం వందనం దాస్యం సఖ్యమాత్మ నివేదనం. ఇట్ ఇస్ నాట్ ఇంద్రియ దమనం, ఇస్ నాట్ ఎ లింబ్ ఆఫ్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్. ఇట్ ఇస్ సంథింగ్ విచ్ మే ఇన్ఫ్యాక్ట్ దీస్ అర్జెస్ క్యాన్ బి కంట్రోల్డ్ బై త్రూ ద ప్రాసెస్ ఆఫ్ భక్తి ఓన్లీ, బై డౌటైలింగ్ ద సెన్సెస్ ఇన్ దట్ డైరెక్షన్. These six urges present various types of obstacles in the immature stage for the practitioner entering the path of bhakti. As an utsahamayi, ghanatarala, vyudavikalpa, vishaya sangara, in these stages especially, the six urges create formidable obstacle. But gradually by practice of bhakti when one overcomes, then the later stages they don't pose a problem. When one reaches nishta, ruchi, asakti, bhava, prema, there is no problem. So these six urges present various types of obstacles in the immature stage for the practitioner entering the path of bhakti. Jata shraddho matkatasu nirvinna sarva karmasu వేద దుఃఖాత్మకం కామాన్ పరిత్యాగే అపి అనీశ్వర తతో భజేత మాం ప్రీత శ్రద్ధాలు దృఢ నిశ్చయ జుషమానశ్చ తాన్ కామాన్ దుఃఖోదర్కాంశ్చ గర్హయ. ఇన్ ఇనిషియల్ స్టేజెస్ ఈవన్ దో వేద దుఃఖాత్మకం కామాన్ హీస్ కన్విన్స్డ్ దట్ ఎనీ ఎండెవర్ ఫర్ సెన్స్ గ్రాటిఫికేషన్ విల్ లీడ్ టు ట్రబుల్ సఫరింగ్ బట్ పరిత్యాగే అపి అనీశ్వర He is not always able to say no for sense gratification because of his past vasanas. So Krishna says, don't get depressed. Practice. Don't doubt the process. Does bhakti work for me? Prabhu, if bhakti works for you, you are very fortunate. What does that mean? It means bhakti may not work for someone else. Then don't doubt the process, rather work on your determination. Am I practicing the process with sufficient determination? That is the direction in which we should think. And happily worship me, Krishna says. Don't get depressed. Tato bhajeta mam prita shraddhalu drida nishchaya jushamanascha tankaman dukko darkamscha garhaya. And if at some time you fall prey to sense gratification, be repentant, but move ahead. Don't allow that feeling of repentance to degrade into depression. These six urges present various types of obstacles in the immature stage for the practitioner entering the path of bhakti. At that time, the devotee, by taking shelter of the mode of exclusive sharanagati and by avoiding the 10 kinds of offenses to the holy name, becomes fit to dispel these obstacles through the power of Harinam, Kirtan and so on. So, when we are troubled, so the solution that Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives for overcoming the six urges, of course, the solution that Rupa Goswami gives is, as we discussed on the first day, a favorable lifestyle, which is defined by second verse and third verse. And in order to follow that favorable lifestyle, association of devotees, 4, 5 and 6 he describes. And in that association, practicing bhajana kriya, which he mentions in the 7th verse, will lead one to gradually reach the stage of Raganuga Sadhana, which he describes in the 8th verse, like that. So, but here he says, but while we are troubled, we are not yet there, what should we do? He says, take shelter of the mode of exclusive Sharanagati and try to consciously avoid the 10 offenses. By these two ways, one gets the strength to curb the six urges. by taking shelter of the exclusive mode of Sharanagati and consciously avoiding the 10 offenses to the holy name.
This is the solution.
Correct. And then he says, the association of spotless saints, sadhus, plays a very significant role in this matter. 4, 5, 6. The mode of Sharanagati that we discussed, Anukulyasa Sankalpo Pratikulyasa Varjanam, accepting what is favorable for bhakti, rejecting whatever is unfavorable for bhakti. Which means basically discrimination. Start thinking in terms of whether it is favorable or unfavorable for bhakti. Which means reforming our value system. Identifying what is good and what is bad in terms of whether it aids my progress in bhakti or obstructs my progress in bhakti. Yeah, well. Hopefully.
Jiva. Jiva. Extracting the focus.
Of the speaker and the hearer. And the others. The Padma Puran says, Shrutvapi nama mahatnyam yapriti rahito damaha ammamadi paramon namni sopyaparadakrit. So I will read and when I pause, you tell me what you do the anvaya. Those who, yaha, in spite of hearing the astonishing glories of the holy name, Shrutvapi nama mahatnyam, maintain the conception.
Implied.
That I am this material body. And the worldly objects are mine. Aham mamadi. And who display no persistence or love for the utterance of the holy name. Preeti rahito. Namni preeti rahito. Are also offenders to the holy name. Saha api aparadha krit.
So, preeti rahito adama, there is no persistence in
love. Adama is fallen. Such a fallen person. Saha api aparadha krit. So, he is also, this is the 11th offense ka Padma Purana covers. 11th offense. Maintaining material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. So, this maintenance of material attachments manifests in the form of these six urges. So the 11th offense. Yeah, one should be at least convinced that this is an obstacle. So, or if one is not putting persistent effort to say no to these urges, then that is maintaining material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. The devotees are intent on practical renunciation. So, yukta vairagya is practical renunciation. And thus they remain aloof from dry renunciation, falgu vairagya. Anasaktasya vishayan. So, not having attachment to that object itself. Yata arham upayunjataha. And he uses it only as it is meant to be used. And how is it meant to be used? Nirbandha Krishna sambandhe. Persistently it should be utilized in Krishna's service only. Yuktam vairagya manchate. That is yukta vairagya. So, three aspects of yukta vairagya. One should himself not have attachment to that object or service or whatever. And he should use it only as it is meant to be used, which is persistent, which is in Krishna's service, and in utilizing it in Krishna's service, there must be persistence. Matlab, whenever it is used, it should be used only in Krishna's service. So, if these three aspects are there, then it is Yukta Vairagya. It is called Vairagya because there is no sense gratification involved. It is not Vairagya in the sense of the senses are inactive. That is dry Vairagya, which he mentions in the next verse. Prapanchikataya buddhya hari sambandhi vastunaha mumukshubhi parityago vairagyam falbhugatyate. First, he is a mumukshu. He has no desire to please Krishna. His only goal is, I want to escape this material world. So that self-centered mentality makes him see every object as prapanchikataya, as belonging to this prapancha, material world. He can't see the spiritual aspect, the spiritual utility in that particular object. He sees it as material, prapanchikataya buddhya. But it is harisambandhi vastu. It is an object which is connected to Lord Hari. But he is not able to see that connection. Therefore, he is rejecting it. So, that is Falgu Vairagya. So, as practicing devotees, we may not, every single object may not be fit to be used on the path of Yukta Vairagya by us. Like for example, we may not be able to utilize, for example, Mataji's in Krishna's service. It may not be, but to think that Mataji's cannot be used in Krishna's service at all, that is Falgu Vairagya. And to think that everything is meant to be utilized in Krishna's service, therefore I can utilize anything in Krishna's service, that is false bravado. So that, yes, everything is meant for Krishna's service, but I may not be qualified to utilize everything in Krishna's service. So, whether I am fit for utilizing that particular object in Krishna's service depends on these three aspects of Yukta Vairagya. Anasaktasya Vishayan Yataraham Upayunjataha Nirbanda Krishna Sambandhi. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that you have to ask these three questions. Do you really need it in Krishna's service? Do you really need this in Krishna's service? And the second question he asks is, are you attached to it? And third is, after utilizing it, do you feel a positive inspiration in bhakti? Has it taken you closer to Krishna's lotus feet or has it taken you away from Krishna's lotus feet? So if there is the answer for all the three questions is yes, then that particular object is fit for Yukta Vairagya for that particular person. So, it is not that Yukta Vairagis are not a class of people. Every devotee, before he reaches the stage of Bhava, is actually a Yukta Vairagya only. But what falls within the purview of Yukta Vairagya changes from person to person. Different people have different levels of development, and even within the same level of devotional development, different people may have weakness for different things. So whatever one has weakness for, like for example, Madhumadhava Prabhu can interact with Mataji's very, without any problem, as far as I have observed. But it may not be everyone's cup of herbal tea. So, as much as he is comfortable, not everyone may be comfortable. So, Oh, he is doing, so I can also do. We cannot think like that. At the same time, he may have weakness for certain things, and we may be able to utilize it confidently in Krishna's service. So that way, you know, it varies from person to person. So Yukta Vairagis are not a class. You are a Yukta Vairagi, so utilize it in Krishna's service. We may not be able to. You cannot use, so you are not a Yukta Vairagi. It is not like that. In principle, we are convinced that everything has a utility in Krishna's service. But we use discretion to understand which objects I can utilize comfortably in Krishna's service, following these three principles of Yukta Vairagi. So gradually, when one progresses more and more in on the path of devotional service, more and more objects will fall within the category of Yukta Vairagya, and eventually till it becomes spontaneous devotional service at the stage of bhava and prema. So bhakti can be practiced on three levels: pure bhakti, shuddha bhakti. The first is the level of dovetailing. I have attachment for that particular thing. I will utilize it in Krishna's service. I love driving, so I will drive devotees around. So that is dovetailing, that is not Yukta Vairagya. But that is not outside the realm of pure devotional service. One can dovetail one's propensities in devotional service. It can act as a trap also. When in utilizing it for Krishna's service, we start utilizing it for our sense gratification also. So, at least we may not be anasaktasya vishayan, but at least nirbandha Krishna sambandhe should be there. Persistent use in Krishna's service should be there. Otherwise, we are getting trapped. The higher level is Yukta Vairagya, where that attachment to that object is also not there. And the highest level is spontaneous devotional service, where everything is driven by spiritual emotions. So these are the three levels in which one can practice devotional service. In the beginning, so at our stage, we are not at the level of spontaneous devotional service. So certain objects may fall within the category of Yukta Vairagya for us. Certain objects may fall within the category of dovetailing for us. And certain objects, we may not be able to dovetail also, because they are dangerous for us. We may very soon fall trapped to it. So for sadhakas, these three categories are there. We have to identify which are the objects to which I am attached to, and I have a weakness for utilizing in my own, for my own sense gratification. Which are the objects which I am attached to, but I can utilize it persistently in Krishna's service. And the third is, which are the objects which I am not attached to and I can persistently use in Krishna's service. And accordingly, utilize them in Krishna's service, or may choose not to utilize them personally in Krishna's service. So the devotees are intent on practical renunciation, Yukta Vairagya, and thus they remain aloof from dry renunciation, Falgu Vairagya. Therefore, the regulation to abandon all contact with the sense objects does not pertain to them, because they have to utilize it in Krishna's service. Na? If they stay away from all objects, considering them as sense objects, then how will Krishna's service be accomplished? So, because bhakti, sadhana bhakti is defined as kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhavasa sadhana bhita nitya siddhasya bhavasya prakatyam hridi sadhyata. So he says kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhavasa sadhana bhita. Sadhana bhakti means engaging the senses in the activities of ninefold devotional service with the goal of bhava in mind. With a desire to attain bhava, when we engage our senses in the ninefold activities of devotional service, that is called as sadhana bhakti. So if one is not willing to engage his senses at all, then bhakti cannot be practiced. Like that. It is like a jnani's renunciation. Therefore, the regulation to abandon all contact with sense objects does not pertain to them. So therefore, they have to see anukul kya hai. What is according to their conditioning, according to their mentality, according to their... So what is anukul? What they can utilize in Krishna's service comfortably. When the agitation of the mind is withdrawn, or in other words, when one is devoid of thirst for material enjoyment, the impetuosity of the eyes, the life air, the hearing propensity and all other drives become pacified. Impetuosity means impetus, vega, the urge of the eyes to see beautiful things, of the life air. How is the urge of the life air expressed? Hunger mainly. One of the main ways is hunger. The hearing propensity are also karmendriyas. In this case, udara upastha will fall within the category of jihva, udara and upastha. Sorry, udara and upastha will fall within life air. Like that. So he says, when the agitation of the mind is withdrawn, or in other words, when one is devoid of thirst for material enjoyment, the impetuosity of the eyes, the life air, the hearing propensity and all other drives become pacified. Therefore, persons who have gained victory over the six overwhelming passions can conquer the entire world. The instruction to tolerate these urges is given only for the householder devotees, because before giving up householder life, one must have abandoned all types of urges. See, householder, again, here it refers to sadhakas. Because during Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time, there were only two ashramas in the Gaudiya Vaishnava line. Grihastha and Grihatyagi. So irrespective of, so grihastha means sadhaka, grihatyagi means siddha, bhava and prema. That is the way. So therefore, here the word householder is a literal translation. Householders here refers to brahmacharis, grihasthas, vanaprasthas, sannyasis, everyone who has not reached the stage of bhava bhakti. So here, householders means actually sadhaka. So we should not, oh, householder ke liye hai, hum toh brahmachari hai. So this instruction to tolerate these urges is given only for the householder devotees, means sadhaka devotees. Because before giving up householder life, before transcending the sadhana avastha, one must have first abandoned all types of urges, which means before accepting Babaji Vesh, you must have completely controlled these six urges. That's what it means. Grihatyagi means Babaji. Babaji means Paramahamsa, Bhava and Prema stage. At that stage, one can take up. So, while one has not reached, and such an injunction for a Bhava Bhakta is redundant because he is elevated, he is not troubled by the six urges. For a sadhaka, it is needed because still anartha navritti is not complete. So one has to do the needful. And what is the solution that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given in his commentary? Take shelter of the mode of Sharanagati, exclusive mode of Sharanagati, and avoid the 10 offenses. That is what he says. And take the association of saintly devotees. Dupajana Kriya. So, these are the four things that he says. So the means of overcoming the six urges is avoiding offenses, meditating on the mood of Sharanagati in the association of devotees, and practicing Bhajana Kriya. This is the way. Basically, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 versus 2 to 7 of nectar of instruction is the means to attain one. As we discussed on the first day, one gives the high pedestal, high goal, and 2 to 7 gives versus 2 to 7 or 2 to 8 of nectar of instruction is giving us the means to attain that goal. How you can equip yourself to, how can we have the inner wiring which is suitable for resisting the urges, the six urges? It starts with following the favorable lifestyle, which means avoiding the don'ts. Atyahara prayasascha prajalpo niyamagraha janasangascha laulyamcha. Consciously, on a day-to-day basis, one is able to avoid these things. And consciously, when one is able to cultivate utsahan nischayat dairyat tattat karma pravartanat sangatyakat sato vritte in the association of devotees, then it is possible for us to develop immunity towards these six urges. So this is the explanation of Bhaktivinod Thakur. Piyusha Varshini Vritti. Radharaman Goswami. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur will be still more elaborate. And Prabhupada's will be still more elaborate. So, I will just save this, then we will start Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's.